Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
And the man that has absolutely nothing to do, Chris Harwall, with the New Mexico Museum of Space History. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mike. Yeah, it's funny how my staff is texting me and trying to call me as we're sitting here getting set up. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on, to say the least.
So, in other words, you have some things to do.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Trust me, as soon as we finish here, boom, I'm right out of here and over to Hobby Lobby and then the Museum Support Center, you know, so picking up some of the supplies and things.
I tell you what, we're going to kick it off Friday. This is going to be a great new, well, not brand new, but revitalized exhibit, sci-fi and sci-fact.
Yeah,
I blurred the line.
Yeah, we're transforming. And we've been talking about this for a while.
Know.
You know, it's just... a lot of things, you know, kind of go on and keep you maybe from doing one thing or the other, because we started this process for trying to do this before the pandemic, you know, and finally get it going and coming out of the pandemic, you know, so we had to take care of a bunch of the infrastructure stuff, but now we're finally getting to exhibits. And so we set a very aggressive exhibit schedule for ourselves this year.
Boy, yeah.
In fact, it's probably overly aggressive because Friday we open up Sci-Fi Sci-Fact. So that's, you know, here in December. Then in January, we open up Sci-Fi Sci-Fact up in Santa Fe as well.
Oh, wow.
Because it's going to be in the Governor's Gallery inside the Capitol building. Slightly different version of it. We're actually going to make a couple of changes to it up there, add a couple of things. It's smaller, but in any case, and then March 8th, we're going to open up the brand new satellite gallery with some new interactives in there, and then July 4th, the new Rockets, Missiles, and Motors gallery, and in the fall next year, we'll open up the entire revitalized fifth floor, so two new galleries up there. So in 12 months, we're trying to essentially completely redo the museum.
Wow.
And so, it'll be interesting if we're all still alive at the end of this, if we haven't either killed ourselves, died from exhaustion, or potentially killed each other during the process. Because I will tell you, you know, doing museum exhibits, it's very funny. And it's true everywhere. Hopefully, it won't be true for us this week. We'll see. But generally, when there's a pre-party or something. For us, there's a members preview of this exhibit tomorrow night. So if people are members of the International Space Hall of Fame Foundation, which is our support organization, they can come to the preview of it tomorrow night, you know, and there's drinks and food and then a chance to see the exhibit before it opens up to the public. In any case, usually when something like that is going on, the staff is still in there finishing the exhibit.
Yeah.
Painting that last thing,
and
putting
that's
the
where the killing
in
comes in, right?
Yeah. So usually so, but at that point in time, you're usually working together.
Okay.
It's like 2-3 days before. That's when you're trying to kill each other. So because you're just trying to coordinate things.
Yeah.
It's funny, but that's invariably what's going on. You know.
Wow.
So and then staff is running out of the gallery as people are coming into it. You know. So it's.
Yeah.
It's just what happens, but hopefully not this situation. We're actually doing great. We've got, you know,
good.
Yesterday was incredibly productive, and the heavy construction part of it is done. So now we're literally just working on mounting the TVs, finishing up the display portions of it, i.e. the artifacts into the cases and the graphics. So it's, you know, it's getting down to that, you know, those last moments, you know. So we've got, you know, a ton of movie posters, originals, and a couple of reproductions that are going up on one of the walls, and that's where I'm heading over to Hobby Lobby is to pick up the frames for those things, you know. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, but the exhibit, this one's been a labor of love for us, because the staff, you know, virtually everybody on the staff not only obviously like space, but mm-hmm. like science fiction as well.
Yeah.
And so science fiction, that's the whole point of it, is how science fiction affects science fact.
Sure, yeah.
And how science fact affects science fiction. Yeah. So, yeah. So we've got fun things on exhibit in there, you know, that may, you know, an 1800s copy of Frankenstein next to a defibrillator, you know.
Wow.
Because, you know, the idea is, or the book Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle, which was in 1911, it was, you know, part of the Tom Swift series of the boys' books written back then. Mm-hmm. Well, a NASA researcher in the 1970s was reading that and said, that's an interesting idea. I think I can create that. And he ended up creating the tasers that police use nowadays and have saved tens of thousands of lives, if not more, because it gives the law enforcement a non-lethal option to utilize.
It's tingly as all get out.
Yeah, that's a lot of voltage, yeah, so 80,000 volts. But in any case, he came up with that idea, created it. Well, a lot of, you know, the word taser, got any idea where it came from?
Mm-mm.
Thomas A. Swift and His Electric Rifle.
Wow.
T-A-S-E-R.
I'll be doggone.
So it's an acronym. So, but yeah, it's, you know, fun things like that, you know, we're going to talk about in the exhibit. We're going to have items in there, you know. And then, yeah, we also, you know, how the TV show For All Mankind, it's on Apple TV Plus right now. It's in its fourth season. Had to think about that for a quick second. So, you know, and the lead character in it is a guy whose last name is Baldwin, in a case that we have one of his spacesuits from it.
Wow.
From the TV show. But the neat thing about it is then there's images below it where it shows how similar that suit is, even though it was made for the TV show, how similar it is to NASA's Z2 suit, their concept suit that they were working on, you know, so, and that you can compare the similarities and see how science fact affected science fiction in this situation. So yeah, all sorts of fun, you know, with it. So we're excited to finally get it open.
Now I want to go back to the killing for just a second.
You know, killing, because, okay, yeah. So yeah,
when you start talking about that, I worry about Mike Shinneberry. He's the skinniest guy you got.
Mike helped with some of the writing. He's not helping with the installing, so he's relatively safe.
Now,
he is deeply involved with Holiday on the Hill, so I can't say what his whole staff is doing as far as whether or not they're ready to kill each other.
I just worry about it. He's the skinny guy. So, but anyway, this sci-fi sci-fact thing, this is going to be really interesting. You and I have talked about this before, and I'm just going to ask, do you have one of the Star Trek communicators in there?
We have replica. We don't have an original. So, but the fun thing is that, you know, we do the comparison to cell phones.
Yeah.
And showing the direct connections, because there are, and if people want to find out, you know, they need to come and see the exhibit and see what the direct connection is between the Star Trek communicator and the Motorola cell phones.
Yeah, well,
because there is a direct connection. So.
I guarantee you, growing up as a kid, watching Star Trek and flipping open.
Yep.
When we got those flip phones, you tell me one person in the 90s that did not do that.
Flip it open. Yep. So exactly. So, but yeah, you know, those are some of the fun things that we talk about. You know, so whether it's something that may have been written about in science fiction, a lot of, you know, for the longest time it was seen as this kind of offshoot genre, you know, it wasn't respected, etc. But so many of the people who, you know, wrote what you could consider true science fiction, and science fiction really started back in the 1800s with proto science fiction, which is kind of not exactly science fiction, but it had elements of science fiction. You know, science fiction really got its start in the late 1800s, you know, and it really took off in the 1920s is when it really took off. In any case, though, whether you're talking about books that were written back then and things that were, I'm not going to say prophesied, that's a bad word, but predicted potentially or envisioned, you know, and eventually came true. And some of it came true just by accident.
Right.
You know, some of it came true because people looked at it and said, I think I can do that. You know, so I think we could do that, you know, or just the influences. I mean, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, all of the original astronauts, you know, the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, folks who flew, all cited back that Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon influenced their choices to either fly, get into aviation, and eventually, definitively, get into space. You know, so yeah, it's just, you know, how these things, whether it's a TV, a movie, you know, so we talk about that. What are the different mediums of science fiction. How do we present science fiction to the public? Is it a, you know, books, serials, pulp magazines, TV, radio? You know, nowadays with streaming, with comics that you can read on your phone or whatever else it is, you know. So we talk about all of that as well. So it's a fun exhibit to kind of. There's not enough room in any of our galleries to really deep dive into any subject, you know. So what we try to do is give people an idea of what, you know, what's out there, and then let them, you know, if they want to get deeper into it, research further, using that as a good starting point.
You know, so. Well, we all know one of the greatest radio sci-fis, Orson Welles, War of the Worlds.
Yep, 1938. Yeah. So, yep. Guess what? That will be playing in the exhibit.
Oh, cool.
Yep, so on a 1930s radio.
All right.
So, yeah, there's lots of fun like that. So, yeah, you know.
Do you have the audio for it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, because it's a standard that we play here on Halloween night.
Yep. You know, so, and, you know, it was just fun. Yeah, in Yeah, it's I'm like, how much of the exhibit do I give away? You know, how much of the write-ups do I give away, you know, for people? But it was so much fun, the discussions of, you know, did it create a panic? Did it not create a panic, et cetera, et cetera. So,
That's just like, okay, Roswell, sci-fi or sci-fact? I'm not getting into
or,
that one.
Or as, I'm trying to remember, what was the movie, one of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, is a bit of both, you know? So.
Yeah, a bit of both. I love that. So, but great. Well, we got that opening up Friday, and then Saturday.
It's Holiday on the Hill.
On the Hill. Let's talk about that.
So the exhibit team kind of finishes up on Friday, and the education team takes off. And that I use that term literally on Saturday with Holiday on the Hill. So this is the second year that we're doing Holiday on the Hill. It was very successful last year. We had a really, really good food drive. We filled up an entire truck. With food for Runner's Refuge, and you know, which is one of the food service organizations here in town, and it's who we're working with this year. So if, you know, people bring up two cans of food, free admission. Wow. And it's not only free admission to the museum, it's also free admission to the theater. Now we're showing planetarium films and doing our live star shows, but still it's free, you know. So we've got, there's contractual issues with showing the giant screen films and giving away free tickets that we can't do. So in any case, we show some of the giant screen planetarium films, the live star shows, and then we have activities that are kind of fun. So one of the things that was very popular last year, we're doing it again, no surprise, is that one of our educators who also works with the Astronomy League here in town, and some volunteers from the Astronomy League will be there, helping people make choices if they're thinking about getting a telescope, you know, for themselves, for their kids, as a gift, whatever, about how to make the right choice. Because a lot of people, this is one of the things that has traditionally happened is, you know, parents or, you know, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, will buy a telescope for a kid. Buy the wrong thing, something too advanced or too simple, you know, depending on what they've got, you know, so and their capabilities, what they know, etc. And we're trying to just help out in that situation and point them in the right direction and say, hey, this would be a good choice. This is what you also need to do, to teach them a bit about, okay, how do you set it up? How do you operate it? How do you do the basics with it? Those sort of things.
Right.
So there'll be folks, you know, available to talk about that and help people to make a good choice about that. Or if they want to just come up and learn a little bit more about how to operate something that they've already got, you know. And then there's activities with we're going to be building air rockets and launching air rockets, which is always fun, you know. So kids enjoy that, and then solar system ornaments. So where the kids can come in and make ornaments that are themed on the different planets in our solar system.
Cool.
So, and I guess actually, if they want to, they could make exoplanets as well of things in other solar systems. You know, it's only limited by the imagination of a child, and we know that that is pretty much unlimited.
They could build Vulcan.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. So, yep. So, just don't build Alderaan.
They could build Cardassia.
Yeah, there you go. So, but but yeah, you know, it's really fun. You know, simple event, chance to get up there, you know, free admission to the museum, chance to see the new exhibit, you know, for free. So, and, you know, well, you shouldn't say completely free. You do have to bring up a couple of cans of food.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, so, but hey.
But there's a great, that's a great benefit.
Yeah, so. Great benefit, two cans of food.
Mm-hmm.
benefit happens on both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
We feed some people, and you get
Runner's Refuge gets food for the bank, and you get into the museum for free. Yeah. You know, that's tough to beat. You know,
and you're gonna be something about the Christmas Star too that night, right?
Too many things going on, but yeah, we've got the planetarium show about the Christmas Star that is going on that evening as well. So yeah, you know, it's a whole day's worth of activities, you know. So and then a little bit into the evening as well. Long day for the educators.
It's
as always,
going to be a fantastic time. I tell you what, I love this.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with. You know, I mean, we've got so many things going on in the world of space right now as well, you know. So, and that's another thing, you know, folks come up, they can talk to our staff and ask about anything. You know, I was talking about telescopes. I was talking about the activities we want. But if you come up and you got our staff there, you know, and you want to ask them about, you know, well, what's going on in commercial space right now? You know, what's going on with NASA and the missions to the moon? Guess what? We'll talk their ears off if they want, you know, or we'll debate, you know, if they've got ideas of how it should be done, you know, Yeah, it's lots of, you know, it's a chance to come on up, enjoy what we've got on display, and then also get a chance to interact with our education staff as well, because they'll all be running around.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, when it comes to getting the pulse or the scoop of what's going on in the current space program and different things like that, you guys are a great resource.
Yep. Yeah. And we, you know, that's the launch pad lectures, you know, sometimes we're looking at historical stuff. Sometimes we're taking a look at, you know, things that are coming up. You know, like the last launch pad lecture at the beginning of this month was themed on science fiction.
Yeah. Rockets and ray guns.
Rockets, ray guns,
and
robots.
And you did that one.
Yep, I did. Yep.
How'd that go?
Well, you'd have to ask the people who came. They seemed to react very positively.
Okay. No tomatoes were involved.
No tomatoes were thrown.
It was a great one.
Just compliments afterwards. So, but that's a fun topic to talk about. We've been doing it in here. So, but you know, and then sometimes, like in January, we're going back and looking at the Ranger program, which was one of NASA's original programs. You know, of sending probes out to the distant planets. You know, and sometimes we talk about current operations. We have folks from the companies come and talk to us. We had folks from Lockheed Martin a couple of months ago that came and spoke about all the programs that they've got going on. So yeah, you know, it's a chance to do that. And next year we're going to start up an evening lecture series.
Really?
Because, you know, one of the things is that, you know, our current lecture series is the first Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning, which, you know, the most of the crowd, no surprise, is retired. You know, so because people who are working can't get to the lecture at 9 o'clock on a Friday. So we're going to start up an evening lecture series for those folks that can't make it, you know, during the day. And it will be on different topics, you know. Wow. So if you want to come Friday at 9, you can. If you want to come to the other one. So and we're getting that set up, you know. So we're also changing the location of where we do the lectures. Traditionally, we've always done them up on the second floor of the museum, in that area. But we're going to turn that space into temporary exhibit space. So, whereas our museum is a museum of what I call, traditionally, it's just been permanent exhibits installed, and then it stays there for forever, essentially. Or, you know, I mean, like, some of the exhibits in our museum have been there for 40 years, you know, so which is why we're trying to renovate everything now.
Right.
We were supposed to start a few years ago. Hey, pandemic, thank you. In any case, so we're a little delayed. Now we're finally getting to it. In any case, though, but it's permanent exhibits. Now what we're transitioning to is what I'm calling semi-permanent exhibits. So like the sci-fi sci-fact exhibit is a great example of it. We have currently five. Eventually we will have six cases. There was an issue with the sixth. So we're only having five when we open here. sounds funny. Suitcases. Yeah. They're actually cases that we can put suits in. And when I say suits, I'm talking about spacesuits. So very large cases that are glass all the way around. In any case, though, we've got five suitcases there. Guess what? Those are going to change out periodically.
Yeah.
And then we've got cases where we have these objects, like I was talking about. You know, we're going to have a copy of Bellamy's book from 1888 that's called Looking Back, 2000 to 1887, that actually predicted credit cards.
Wow.
And, you know, back in 1888, you know, and the whole concept of how they'd be used to the point of getting a receipt for both the merchant and the the customer, you know. Wow. So in any case, though, but we'll change out the objects in that case, you know. So that's one of the things that we're going to be able to do. So, you know, 1 month, you know, and it won't change out every month. We'll change out about every 9 to 12 months, you know, and we'll change out two or three of the objects, you know, so mm-hmm. that you may come back and see exactly what you saw before. You may come back and see something different, but the story will be the same.
Yeah.
Story will be the same, the main story, but the objects will change. Same thing up in our human spaceflight gallery. We've already built that to be a semi-permanent exhibit with the ability to change out the suits and the objects in the cases. But we're also going to be bringing in temporary exhibits. The first one's going to be Legos and lunchboxes.
Oh, cool.
So, and that's going to open up next year. So that's yet another exhibit we're opening up next year. So, yeah. So what are we up to? Six now, you know, yeah. that we're opening up next year. So yeah. that's, you know, generally opening up one exhibit is, you know, kind of normal for, you know, for a museum for a year if they do temporary exhibits all the time. Two is aggressive. We're trying to do six.
Six.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So we'll see. Like I said, at the end of the year, next year, I may have no staff left. They may all quit on me.
There you go. Sci-Fi Sci-Fact opens up Friday night. What time?
Opening time. Yeah. Opening time, so we have a members preview Thursday night. Yeah. So if people want to join up real quick here, they can. You know, they can come to the preview on Thursday night, or just wait until Friday morning. There you know, so and come in when we open up our regular hours at 10 o'clock on Friday, or bring a couple of cans of food and come up on Saturday and get in for free.
There you go.
So yeah, there's three options to get and see the exhibit real quick.
Well, what time does Saturday event?
10 o'clock.
Ten o'clock Saturday morning.
Yep, normal opening time. So, yeah, so 10 to 5, and then on Sunday, 12 to 5. So,
there you go. Yep. Sounds like a great time, Chris.
And for folks, don't forget, we will be closed on Christmas.
Yeah.
And usually the governor kind of shuts down things early on Christmas Eve as well. So we'll probably be shutting early on Christmas
y'all
Eve
y'all at home cooking, going to church, opening up presents and stuff.
Yep.
Don't worry about the museum.
Christmas family, not the museum.
Sounds great. Chris. It's always a pleasure to have you in, and make sure Mike Shanaberry is protected.
I'll put him. Yeah, I'll put like bubble wrap all around it.
There you go. So, hey, Sci-Fi Sci-Fact opens up Friday, and New Mexico Museum of Space History Holiday on the Hill coming up Saturday.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo. And 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.